Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Cassis does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It's episode 143. If you're listening on Drop Day, it's October 24th. This is the official podcast of Hate Rooting, which is what we're going to be doing for the rest of the baseball season. We will not watch any games with any sort of joy built in, I guess, from the start. I don't know if the Yankees lose, we'll have joy. But also known as the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate us 5 stars. It helps us out so much when you guys subscribe and rate 5 stars. I know it's hard to do. It's hard to rate 5 stars on these things. But you gotta do it. Help the boys out. Also on YouTube, on the WEEI page, you got a Play Tessie playlist there with all the episodes. So you can hit the thumbs up on the videos. Check us out there. And as always, we're on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. I'm here with Sammy. I'm here with Pat. And I almost wish, because like obviously like we love our miserable Red Sox lives, but like I almost wish it was a Celtics podcast, because like what they do, they just go out there and raise a banner and hand out rings and blow out the second best team in the NBA, and they basically do that every single night, but. In the end, we are a podcast about the 500 Red Sox. And, you know, I wish we were a Celtics podcast, but to be honest with you, I wouldn't have it any other way, because this is just who we are. I wouldn't change it. But yeah, Celtics are sick. I think I got to start this podcast off by addressing the elephant in the room. The Ed Hand Red Sox Twitter personality bracket. So Sammy and I are both in it, and Sammy dropped to Chris Henrique, and Sammy, you went down like with honor, like you had
it was close. But and also I was in the finals last year, so I no shame. It's okay.
You were in the finals of like the pre-bracket.
Sure, whatever. I know he does a lot of tournaments. I was in the final of the whatever he did.
That's how you earned your way into this bracket, was you made it far enough in that bracket.
Ah, okay. I don't follow this too closely. Yeah. Gordo, I'm a casual observer.
Yeah. You were in the wild card. Gordo got a first round bye.
Yeah, and I got matched up in the first round with Tyler Milliken, who I love Tyler. He is... One of the nicest and most knowledgeable people on Red Sox Twitter, and he's very deserving of moving on, because he's terrific. But holy crap, he pummeled me. Joe, play the audio from their show. They briefly talked about it on Section 10.
I saw Jake's. Tyler, who are you against right now?
I'm facing Gordo.
What's the percentages at?
90-10.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, see, you don't need me, T-Dog. You don't.
Oh, dude.
Oh, that's... God.
Oh, Gordo.
I got
90 to 10?
90 to 10, dude.
Oy vey.
I got crushed. And like I said before, like, No one more deserving to pound me into the sand than Tyler. So if someone's going to do it, I'm glad it was him. But oh my God.
Yeah, he mollywopped you. That's not good.
What's another adverb to describe what he did to me?
He TKO'd you.
Yeah, took you to the woodshed.
He took me behind the barn. Oh.
Wait, he took you to look at the rabbits of mice and men. He's like, look at the rabbits, Lenny.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I am Lenny. That's the second straight episode we've talked about him.
Yeah, that's crazy. Of mice and men popped up 2 episodes in a row. Look how We're so well studied, smart gentlemen. Yeah. I have read many books before.
As you can tell, if you're a regular listener of this show, we are well read.
What are you reading right now, Gordo?
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Again?
Ah, yeah, man. You know I got to go back and do it.
Dude, you're crazy about that. This is your 42nd time. You're wild, man.
The crazy thing, man, is it doesn't even involve mockingbirds. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah, you're the LeBron Kill a Mockingbird. You're just always on page two.
I'm always on the first page.
That means you're gonna have a son, and he's gonna read two pages of To Kill a Mockingbird, and that's Brawny, and that's it.
Bam!
There you go.
I want to raise the next generation to be better than it was for me. So doing a service. The next my offspring will get 20% in the Ed Hand bracket when Ed Hand is comfortably in his 50s or 60s and running this thing. Gordo's kid will get 22% of the vote in the first round. Twice as good as Gordo Sr.
That's beautiful and inspiring too.
So congrats to Tyler. Go out and win the whole thing. Beat Jake. I know that's going to be a big deal if that one happens, but documentary, I mean, none of us, we're recording so soon after this thing's come out. There's no way I'm like 20 minutes in, so definitely not far enough in to like actually talk about it, but you guys excited for the 04 doc? Like, should be cool.
Yeah, right. Kinda. I'm excited to watch, you know, to relive the Red Sox winning in 04. Them losing in 2003 doesn't bother me. I know everyone's like, oh, I don't want to watch that part. Like, we know what comes after. It's fine. That probably made 2004 better. It definitely made 2004 better.
Yeah.
The thing that I am, and I was talking to you guys before the show, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not trying to like be funny. I'm legitimately nervous that I will not be able to like fall asleep if I hear John Henry talk in front of a camera. Like and apparently he gave what, 3 hours worth of quotes to these guys?
Three and a half hours.
Yeah, and they're gonna be curated because it's Netflix. So I just feel like I'm gonna watch it and then just be staring at my ceiling until like 3 a.m. just simmering with rage about what John Henry has done to the team and how cool he used to be. I used to love John Henry. I thought he was the coolest owner ever. Like, he really cared. And now I absolutely loathe him. So yeah, my brain's kind of in a pretzel. I want to watch it. I just need to find the right time where it won't just ruin me.
Sam, you want to know what'll kill you if you really want to get mad? Because this, I knowing you, yes, you're gonna get pissed off. So John Henry's spoken one time in like the first 20-ish minutes, and like he's like, yeah, we got to beat the Yankees, like we're gonna change the way things are. Like, they didn't want to win enough, and like we're gonna change that. All that. If you really want to get mad, go find the audio of when John Henry stopped by 98.5 after 2011 and like cold entered the studio and like debated Felger and Maz about the Red Sox. It's like a different person.
Used to be so cool, man. He used to be like really cool. And I think part of why I'm so mad at him is because it's like a personal thing, is I personally refuse to criticize him from like 20. Even after the Mookie trade, I'm like, all right, it's John Henry. Like, look what he's done with the team. Just let him cook. It's fine. And then I feel like I was a little late to the party. So part of me being mad at John Henry is also me being mad at myself for not seeing this sooner. So it's just a bunch of emotions in my head, and they all lead down one path, which is pure rage. And I don't want to go there, but I'm going to have to at some point. So we'll see.
Pat, are you excited to watch the doc, or are you feeling like you're going to get enraged like Sammy? I feel like it'll be a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
It could be shock.
I'm a guy who probably 3 or 4 times a year watches 4 days in October. So any form of new content, not even new, it's still nostalgic. Just a new presentation, old content, I'm all the way in on. Yeah, like if there's like up-to-date stuff with John Henry being a decrepit old man, I don't know if I'm going to love that. But I mean, it's the 04 team. Everyone loves those guys. And supposedly, personally, my favorite part of that whole season, not the actual World Series or playoffs, is Pedro just throwing Don Zimmer in the dirt and supposedly on that.
Everyone who's watched the doc says that it's really good, and I've seen people saying that it's better than 4 Days in October. So I'm excited. I'm annoyed that I haven't been able to watch more of it to this point.
4 Days in October is straight up porn for Red Sox fans.
Yeah.
That's just pornography.
I think this is going to be like more behind the scenes. Like they've been talking with like Theo and Jed Hoyer. They talked to Billy Bean about like how he almost.
Pat's trying to conceptualize a Red Sox documentary that's better than 4 Days in October. His face expression has changed like 6 times, like just trying to.
It did. It changed because when I heard better 4 Days in October, I was. And then I realized a certain someone who's in the new one. I won't say any names, but he owned a video game company in Rhode Island.
Oh, does his name rhyme with shirt killing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he from Alaska?
Wait, yeah. But Schilling's in 4 Days in October too, right?
Whoa, Gordo, everyone's going to know now that we're talking about Schilling.
Fuck me then.
He was in it, but I think they have Schilling, you know, sit down and give an interview. I don't think he did that. And Pat, you seem like the guy to ask. I don't think they had him do that in 4 Days.
I can remember him talking they about had getting it. Operated on.
Yeah, he did a little bit, but they used a ton of press videos.
Right. He was
a ton of press videos.
He was so cool, man. He could have like never bought another drink in Boston. Like what a friggin' hero he was. And he still managed to piss it all away. You know how big of a scumbag you got to be to ruin that? To be one of the key cogs in the most famous Red Sox team ever and like play through injury to beat the Yankees. Also trash talking the Yankees the entire time. Being like right in the middle of it and everyone hates you 20 years later. That's crazy to me. And it's deserved too. It's not like, oh, come on, you're being too hard. He sucks. So I wild fall from grace, I guess you could call it, for shirt killing, if you know who we're talking about.
Do we know where this doc starts? I hope it starts off when Millar went on SportsCenter before A-Rod was traded to the Yankees and was just like, you can have no Marin Mandy or you can have A-Rod. I'll take A-Rod every day.
I've heard it's in it.
Oh, let's go.
I mean, Pat, the doc starts like they're setting the scene. Like they're talking about like 86 and like the Curse of the Bambino. Like they set the stage and do all that stuff. And then like they talk about John Henry buying the team. Like it starts back. Like they're going to set the stage. But yeah, I'm very excited to watch it. I'm a little disappointed that Nomar declined to be interviewed. And I believe Manny also declined to be interviewed. Like I get Nomar not. I also don't get Nomar not doing it. Like, just do it. Like, grow a sack and do it. But Manny not doing it makes no sense to me. Like, why would – like, start there. Why would Manny, the World Series MVP, not do it?
Well, Manny's, like, crazy. Like, notorious for being just, like, kind of – in a maybe not in a good way, but in an endearing way. Like, he's crazy. He's Manny being Manny. But Nomar – Gordo, I push back on that. I wouldn't want to do it. Can you imagine you're the face of the team, the cursed Boston Red Sox? You're the face of that team. You're supposed to be the guy that leads them to the promised land for the first time in 86 years, and they trade you, and then they get the job done? I would be so bitter until I'm dead and buried if I were Nomar. And I know that everyone loves him here in Boston, but like, can you – oh, I can't even fathom the jealousy I would feel.
Was Nomar part – of the he was traded after the Yankees brawl, right? Or was it before?
Ooh, good question.
Because I was gonna say, I feel like the 04 season like really, really picked up in steam like after that. Cause then like that sort of set the narrative of like it's gonna be Yankees Red Sox 04 in the
That's an interesting ALCS one. Game. I couldn't tell you whether it was before or after. But Sammy,
I don't know if Nomar did really anything.
It looks like it was the 24th, July 24th. So Nomar,
he's a big part of the story, though. I know that he didn't contribute to like the postseason or anything like that. But like them moving on from Nomar, he was there for the fight. He
was traded right after the fight.
Okay, But them moving on from Nomar and doing what they felt they needed to do for the greater good of the team and trading away basically everyone's favorite player, like, that's a huge part of the story. And, like, I get that he's probably bitter that the second he was gone, they won. But it's been 20 years. The people here love you. Like, holy crap, just do the doc. Like, it's such a small little fragment at the beginning.
Like, does he get paid? You know, do you think he gets paid? Like, I wonder if you get paid for appearing, or if you get, like, royalties. I don't really know how royalties work, but, like, I don't know.
I
wouldn't do it, man. Unless I knew for a fact that they were shoveling dirt on me. Not that any Boston sports figure would ever get dirt shoveled on them when they leave town. That never happens. But unless I knew something like that and I wanted to stand up for myself, I don't think I would. Why would I give the Red Sox my time if I'm Nomar? They pooped on you.
Because it comes across as petty. Like,
so
why,
what?
Why
would... He's a it human.
Does. It does. When he's, like, one of the only ones who declines to interview, and it's been 20 years. Like, I get not doing 4 days in October, which came out how soon after? Like, a few years?
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I get that. He's still playing. He's on another team.
I don't know. It's did he ever win a ring? Did Nomar ever win the World Series other than technically getting a ring in 04, even though he wasn't on the team?
No, he didn't.
A's, Dodgers, Cubs, never all. None of them won.
How did that go down? Does anyone know that? Like, did they give him a ring and when?
Yes, I'm pretty sure everyone gets a ring if you're on the team at all. Like, Brian Villarreal has a Red Sox World Series ring.
Right. But, like, when, but, like, for guys of, but Nomar didn't come back until he was with the A's several years later. We'll have to look that one up. That's because he surely got a ring. They like, some teams are going to
shut behind closed doors. Here you go. July 10th, 2005. Nomar stood behind first base during batting practice. Yeah. So he got it behind closed doors. Pissed off, dude. I know that was a year after, but
dude, he's petty.
I don't blame him. I would be petty too. Imagine
not 20 years later. Dude,
Gordo, imagine
I'm struggling.
You're on the Sox.
Be mad at Kyrie.
You what? We won the war with Kyrie, so it's not a good example. But I get what you're saying. Like, I don't blame him for being petty. I'm kind of petty. I'm talking about how I don't even want to watch John Henry talk because I'm still mad at the way he's managed the team
current.
The last few years.
That's current. Of course you're mad.
Am I crazy, or did Nomar sign a one-day contract when he retired?
No, he did. He totally did. I remember that.
Okay, so I feel like that should kind of close the door on that. Clearly, there's not enough beef there to not retire here.
But he never comes back. Like, the only time he comes back is when the Dodgers come to town. So, like, clearly there's something there. But it's literally, it's coming from no one but him.
You sure he... One-day deal? Okay, yeah. Yeah, 2010. Yeah, okay. Well, that's weird. If he signed the one-day deal and then maybe he was busy, I don't know. I would be petty. But if he signed the one-day deal and then didn't come, where does Nomar live now?
L.A. He does color for the Dodgers.
He's doing pre and post.
Oh, man. Why did the Dodgers take all of our fucking guys?
Yeah.
Dodgers, they just want to be us so bad? Nerds?
I don't know how we didn't talk about this. Nomar and Manny throwing out the first pitch.
Yeah, I hate that.
That
gave me pain.
That was fucking insane.
Can we talk a little bit about, I mean, we have to. The World Series starts, if you're listening on Drop Date, starts tomorrow. I mean, speaking of the Dodgers and taking our players, I mean, what better for
is like the Red Sox and Dodgers kind of like kumbaya moment. Like, the Red Sox told the Dodgers, like, yo, we're going to be starting a rebuild. And probably in the year like 2024, the Yankees are going to be in the World Series. So we're going to give you Mookie Betts and a few other guys. And we need you to use these players to beat the Yankees. And then the Dodgers are like, all right, we'll let Kenley Jansen go. And then you guys can sign him so that it looks legit. But we're actually East Coast, West Coast buddies, and we will beat the Yankees for you because of the power of friendship.
I just can't think of anything worse than a Mookie Verdugo World Series that doesn't have the Red Sox in it.
Well,
it's
very different.
It's torture.
Mookie's like watching an ex that you're still in love with have fun. Verdugo's like that trashy ex that you absolutely hate, and you're like,
right. But he's winning the, like, even though he stunk this year, he's in the World Series. He's winning the breakup, and like, I don't. like Mookie, I want to be happy. Like, I love Mookie. Like, Doogie, it's like, shit, man. Like,
I don't think he's happy. I don't think Doogie's happy, dude. He's a me guy, and he's playing like crap. Series. Yeah, but he's not liked. He wants to be liked. That's all he cares about. And then the Yankees fans fucking hate him. So I don't think he's happy. I think he's along for the ride.
If they win the World Series, they're not going to hate him. If he wins the World Series, he's going to be part of that team. They'll let him go. They'll let him go to another team.
They're not going to like him. He wants to be liked. I feel like that is his whole thing. He wants to be accepted and liked and like loved by a fan base, and he doesn't have that. Whether or not win the World Series, it'd be passable, but not. He's not going to be beloved.
You got to remember, too, though, people fucking hated J.D. Drew until the Sox won the World Series.
I hated Steven Drew, and I still do.
There you go. But J.D. Drew had a huge moment. Remember the Game 7 Grand Slam, 2007? Yeah. Good times? Yeah. Like, different. And, like, he also played fine. It's not like he didn't play up to the expectation that was set for him, but he played fine with the Red Sox. Verdugo has been legitimately bad in every facet of the game. He's been fine on defense, but everything else, he's been awful.
But if they win the World Series, they're not going to give a shit. It's just going to be like all the guys that were on that team that we love so much because they won the World Series.
But no, Gordo, like they need to win the World Series, and he needs to do something heroic. Like,
yes. Why?
Like
what? Why does
Soto,
he need to
like
do
what
that?
Soto did in Game 5? Because all he does is play defense. He can't hit for shit.
I'm not denying that, but if they win the World Series, they're not going to objectively. Like,
but it's not going to be because of him. It's going to be because of Stanton or Judge or Soto.
They're still going to dislike him, Gordo. Whether they win the World Series or not, if he's not involved, they'll be like, yeah, we won the World Series. Fuck that Verdugo guy. I guess he was on the team, too. But like, they're not going to think anything of him. They're still not going to like him no matter what, unless he does something big.
Answer me this, then. Alex, let's say the Yankees win the World Series. Alex Verdugo will say goes to the Cleveland Guardians. The Cleveland Guardians make their one trip to Yankee Stadium next year. Alex Verdugo's announced in the lineup. He's going to get an ovation. He's going to get a ring, and they're going to cheer him.
No way. He's going to get booed. I guarantee you he's going to get booed. If they win the World Series, unless he does something big in the World Series and
board
they win.
Board bet. We're putting it on the board. If it happens, it could get nullified if they don't win the World Series or if they re-sign him.
Yeah, or if he has a big moment, then yeah, I think they'll cheer for him. But if he's just playing like he's been playing and he's just on the roster, like you said, I think he's going to get booed. It's Yankees fans, dude. They're the same as us. They're just like Red Sox fans. They're going to boo the guy if he doesn't play well. That's how it works.
We haven't seen them win a World Series in a while. We don't know how this new age era of Yankee fans reacts to players after World Series. Pat, are you on Sammy's side on this one? You think he gets booed in that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, I think pending something like, oh yeah, remember Alex Verdugo, blah, 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 then yeah, he's going to get booed. But I'm just sitting here trying to think. 2009 when they won, who on that team was a certified bum? And I'm trying
nobody.
To think.
That lineup was sick. There was no bum. Go look at the lineup. Like Robinson Cano hit like eighth or something.
It was Molino, Teixeira, Cano, Jeter, A-Rod, I believe Melky Cabrera, Johnny Damon.
Bobby Abreu? No,
Hideki. My God, yeah, there were no bums on this team. Wow.
There was not a bum.
It's back when nobody else had money and the Yankees could just buy everyone and nobody could compete. Not as easy nowadays, but.
So, let me lay out the terms here and we can put it on the board. So if the Yankees win the World Series and Alex Verdugo doesn't have some sort of heroic moment and then he leaves, when he comes back to Yankee Stadium and they give him his ring, I think he'll get cheered. I'm not saying standing ovation. I think he gets cheered.
When he comes up to hit for the first time. Not when he gets his ring. When he comes up to bat and they announce, Alex Verdugo.
Okay, I'll do that too. When he comes up to hit. First at bat.
Guardians come to town. He's a Guardian now.
Yep, he is a Guardian. He has the beard back. It matches the red on the uniform. Yeah, I think he will get he will get cheered. You think he'll get booed?
I think he'll get booed. I think he needs a signature moment or Yankees fan. I mean, I would like if there were a guy who got traded to the Red Sox, like Verdugo from the Yankees, who you expect to be, you know, a good player, very good defense, a little bit above average hitter. And, you know, he kind of gives you the defense, but he's playing left field, so it doesn't matter as much. And the offense is non-existent. And he's got a not-so-great attitude, too. And, like, he do bark, 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 bark thing that he does. It's stupid. It's not just stupid. It's also dumb. I would boo the guy.
David Price is going to get cheered in Boston when he comes, whenever he comes back, probably in 10 years.
David, he should have won World Series MVP.
I know, but I'm just saying that was a guy who was hated
by crazy people. Anyone who hated David Price at any time during his tenure with the Red Sox, you're nuts. That guy was solid. At worst, he was solid. And at best, he was great.
Pat, are you Sammy and I know are both very pro David Price. Are you anti?
If you want, I'll leave it at this. Type in my Twitter handle, type in David Price. There might be 1,200 tweets in support of David Price.
Okay, good.
I'm the biggest David Price guy. I had the red David Price jersey, the white David Price jersey, 24 and 10.
I was going to say, which number, dude? He had two different numbers, two good numbers, too. Two good.
Yeah, wow. Seriously.
Wow.
But okay, we'll put that on the board. This is going to be our first board bet. So we will see. Hopefully it doesn't come to be. Go Dodgers.
Yeah, hopefully we never get an answer. God. Let's never get an answer to this. But I hope Verdugo hits 750 in the World Series and is by far the best player on the Yankees. And they lose, and then they give Verdugo a big extension because they buy in. Remember, we talked with Bradfo about how playoff performance. That's best case scenario.
You know, it pisses me off so much to see this matchup because it's just like I don't want to see the Dodgers win. I really don't want to see the Yankees win. But like,
why not the Dodgers? Dodgers would be cool. Shohei, he's so likable.
It's more so because it's just like it kills me to see them succeeding doing what we should have done, which is paying Mookie Betts, which is paying star players. But the fact of the matter is they both deserve to be there because that's what they did. Like,
yeah,
the Dodgers were good last year and they were like, we're going to spend $1 billion. We're going to get Shohei Ohtani. We're going to get Yoshinobu Yamamoto. We're going to get Tyler Glasnow. We're going to get Teoscar Hernandez. And we're going to have so much depth that even when we have a full all-star pitching rotation on the injured list, we're still good enough to make the World Series. And then the Yankees said, we're a 500 team, but fuck that. Fuck being 500. Let's get maybe the best hitter in baseball in Juan Soto and a couple of other pieces, and we're going to change that right away because we have one of the best players in baseball signed to a $350, $60 million contract, and we're not going to waste years of his prime. And they didn't. And those two teams took the plunge and they're in the World Series. And like, I fucking hate it, but they deserve it. And it's like, if the Red Sox decided to go in and invest while Rafi Devers was in his prime, like maybe they would be here, but they haven't. So the Red Sox have been sitting outside the postseason looking in for almost a month now. And the Yankees and the Dodgers are in the World Series. And like, it kills me, but I part of me is slightly glad that like the teams that show that they care are getting rewarded for it.
Yeah, I wish it weren't the Yankees. Dodgers, I don't have any animosity towards them because, you know, Red Sox beat them in the World Series, so we always got that over them, and they haven't won an actual World Series since some 80s something. I don't even remember. 88? Okay. Even I don't remember that one. So, yeah, no animosity towards the Dodgers. I do like that it's like the big spenders. It shows proof is in the pudding. When you spend, no, it doesn't guarantee winning, but hey, sure as shit makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, and I like that it's sending the right message because a year ago, I remember in the offseason, all we heard was, oh, look, the Yankees, the Mets, and the Padres spent all this money this offseason and none of them made the postseason. Well, look at the three of the four teams that were in the AL and NLCS were the three top payrolls. And yeah, the Guardians were there, but guess what? They got the Yankees basically coasted through them to the World Series. So maybe one day, and we'll watch this 04 documentary just to tie it all together, but we'll see, you know, an era where the Red Sox did that and got rewarded for doing that. And we can compare it to the era now where they haven't done it and where they've missed the playoffs 5 out of 6 seasons.
Man, I don't think I can watch this. The more we talk about it, I don't think tonight. I don't think I can watch it. I wish I wasn't such a emotionally invested person in this friggin' baseball team who most of the guys have no clue who I am. So like, what's wrong with me? I don't know.
It's a sickness. It's a sickness.
Yeah. Seriously.
Pat, do we have a DM listener DM of the week?
We do. We do indeed.
Oh boy.
From Nate Philbrook at NateMP97. So I like this one because I think this is actually pretty interesting because we haven't dug super deep on this for the most part. Who other than Crochet do you seem as reasonably available impact arm? I say reasonable because obviously I would love Skeens and Scoobal, but doubt they'd be available. My pick, not as the main piece of the offseason, but high upside. Coming off, so hopefully reduced price, but effective history against the AL East, young lefty, high swing and miss caliber stuff. So I'm going to extend that a little bit besides Scoobal and the Mariners guys.
Okay, so he wants to know who's available in trade other than that?
Who's a high caliber arm that you can see the Sox getting, not who's not currently a Mariner or named Garrett Crochet?
Oh, but are we just talking trades or free agents too?
Yeah, go trades. We'll go trades.
Okay. Let's just do trades. Yeah, free agent is boring. You just list off the guys. Gordo, you got one? I have one loaded up if you want me to start.
No, you go first. I've got a couple, but I feel like I can do better than the ones that are on my mind. So you go for it.
Okay, first guy that comes to mind for me, and I haven't heard much about this guy, is Sonny Gray. He's currently with the St. Louis Cardinals. Had a really, really impressive 2024. Pitched 166.1 innings, 203 strikeouts with a 3.84 ERA. And I believe St. Louis had some pretty weak defense. So his FIP, 3.12. Not in his prime anymore, but certainly a good pitcher. He's 35. He's turning 35 in 2 weeks as you're listening. So. Maybe. Hey,
Sweetie Pie, can I ask you to do me a favor? Can you look up how his contract's structured?
Yeah. So that's the not so good part.
Do me another favor too before you get there. Can you tell me how he fared the last time he pitched in the AL East?
Yeah. So two concerns. While he did have a good 2024, here's the contract that Pat was alluding to, and trust me, I have this ready to go because here is the workaround that they'd have to figure out. He's making $25 million in 2025 and then $35 million in 2026. That's his age 36 season. So Cardinals, if they're willing to eat some of that or a lot of it, most of it, maybe the Red Sox give them something decent in return. But pretty unlikely. That said, I don't think it's anything crazy to think about. It would definitely have to have some money moving around, but Sonny Gray, veteran option. I could see it, but definitely not my first guess or my first choice.
Gordo?
Real quick.
I don't like the idea of the gymnastics it would take to acquire somebody like a Sonny Gray.
I just don't think the Red Sox should be aiming to get someone in that stage of their career. Like the guy, I've got my guy and he's like, I think if the Red Sox are going to trade for a pitcher, it's either got to be someone with multiple years left that they are going to try to extend, or it's got to be someone with a shit ton of control. I don't like the idea of the Sox getting someone in their mid 30s. Cause it's like, you're kind of hoping you can squeeze one or two more years out of him. Like, I want a guy who's going to grow with the next wave of guys that we have coming up here in Boston. And that's why my guy here, and we got these questions cold, so like it's not like we have this prepared. But I think Jared Jones in Pittsburgh is an interesting guy because we already know first off, you can look at previous trade history between the Craig Breslow Red Sox and the Pirates with the Quinn Priester deal. The Pirates are really good at developing pitching. They've got more coming. Bubba Chandler, one of the top, he might be the top. No, he's not the top because Jackson Joe, but he's one of the top pitching prospects in baseball. He's coming up. So they've got even more pitching coming, obviously, to go with Paul Skeens there. Jared Jones, if you watch that guy throw, he looks like what, like, I'm trying to think, like, I don't want to compare him to what Tarek Skubal looked like before he became this version of Skubal that we know, but like, he screams a guy that's about to like, because his strikeout shit is insane. And he's got 5 years of control left on that deal on a team that develops pitching and has shown that they are down to trade pitching for hitting, which is where the Red Sox obviously are, is trying to trade offense for pitching. It could be an interesting fit. 5 years of control. I obviously the Pirates are going to think of him not on not based on the pitcher he is today, which he finished with an ERA just over four. He was not quite as good down the stretch as he was to open the season. It might be a scenario where they want to get Jarren Duran for him, and at that point, I'd be a little bit uncomfortable with it. But if the Red Sox could trade, you know, a good haul of guys, you know, it's not going to be one of those mid-tier guys. Like, they're going to probably have to trade a big four guy in that deal.
It would be like Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, in my opinion. I don't think Pittsburgh would take anything less than that. No, not both.
Both or one. Okay.
One. Yeah, yeah. No, not both.
I agree. I think it would be one and more. Like, I think you'd probably have to go like Marcelo and Willie or something, and that might be able to do it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who strikes out about like 10 per nine innings as a rookie. He just turned how old? He just turned 23 years old.
He's
throws
crazy.
Upper 90s. Yeah, he's going to cost. I mean, I'd be fine with it, but the Red Sox would have to be willing to part with one of their top prospects and probably more just because of how hard it is to find pitching. Like, that kid is a beast. The only thing that concerns me about him is he's not a big guy for like a starting pitcher. 6'1", 190. So he's going to have to put on some weight or else he's not going to be able to hold up. Like you said, Gordo, he faded down the stretch. Now that might be because he's a rookie. Good chance, but
And he got hurt too. He was good until he got hurt, came back, wasn't quite the same. But
well, that's what I'm saying is like guys who are slight like that. Yep. You don't want to be built like me. If you're a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, you want to be
built like Pat.
You want to be Pat Brown. Yeah. You don't want to look. I look like a second baseman. Pat looks like a closer or a starting pitcher, something like that. But anyway, love the idea of Jared Jones, but that is going to cost a pretty penny.
All right, Pat, before we get to enough said, you got one? You got an answer to this question?
I do. I do indeed. And I think it's a guy who's loosely been, I wouldn't even call him trade rumors, but a name that people say like, oh, maybe they move him. If there's one team in baseball who should move anybody and everybody to build a competent farm system and team, it is the Miami Marlins. I think Sandy Alcantara is a really interesting candidate. He's only – this will 2025 will be his 29-year-old season. He's under contract through 25-26 with a club option for 21, which anyone would pick up. Anyone's picking up $21 million for Sandy Alcantara. So essentially 3 years of Sandy. 17.3, 17.3, 21. So that's what, 3 years at
34?
55. 3 years at $55 million, which it literally prorated cheaper than we just got Lucas Giolito for. So that end of it, very interesting. Career 3.32 guy. His last fully healthy season was 22. Won the Cy Young, 2.28. 23 was so weird. I don't know if you guys remember how bad Sandy Alcantara was through like May or June. He was like over a 6 ERA. Going into Tommy John, like he was not even remotely healthy. 23, he still got that down to a 4.14. That's a guy who is a veteran, has a Cy Young to his name, the track record's there, the contract's great, and you might even be able to get him on the low because he's coming off of such a major surgery.
So Pat, this is kind of a lame non-answer, but first off, I would love to see Sandy Alcantara on the Red Sox. We also have to figure out, is it Alcantara or Alcantara? Cause I have no clue.
It's Alcantara. Alcantara.
Yes. And the problem with this, and this is my lame answer, is it's completely contingent on the price. I would guess that Miami is going to want you to pay for the 2022 Sandy Alcantara, who was just unstoppable. By the way, 230 innings almost that year too. So just
that's so cool.
Everything you want in a pitcher, everything the Red Sox have not had in so long. Hauk was close this year. Credit to him. But anyway, so if they're paying for the 2022 version, I would probably pass just because you don't know how he's going to look when he comes back. If I were a betting man, I'd say he would look good, but that's a huge risk to take. If they're selling him somewhere between the 2022 and 2023 price, then I'd be more inclined to, you know, float them some prospects, but it's going to cost a lot either way. That's my lame answer, is it completely depends on the price.
I have another, not to throw cold water on it, but the Marlins also said that they're not trading him this offseason, which I think is fully based off of sort of what Sammy just alluded to, which is like if they're going to trade him, they want teams to trade for the 2022 version of him, not the guy coming off Tommy John that you think you can buy low on. Obviously, there's a price for everybody, and the Marlins, as you said, Pat, like should be doing everything they can to build up the farm, and that's kind of how they've been operating. Like that's why they trade Luis Arraez in like what was it, May? They traded him in May. So yeah, I'm sure there's a price, but the next question you have to ask yourself is how comfortable would you be next year with two pitchers coming off of Tommy John in your rotation with Sandy and Giolito? I guess Giolito had the internal brace procedure, but same idea here. Is you've got guys recovering from major elbow surgery, but then again, it's like I know exactly how this game plays. Is you don't trade for Sandy by May, he looks like the Sandy Alcantara of old, and you're kicking yourself at the deadline. Like, why did we not just offer up everything we had for him when we could have maybe had him for less?
Hey, Gordo, you know what would be sick? So if they did get Sandy, the Red Sox would have two pitchers in their rotation coming off of Tommy John or whatever the internal brace, and the reigning home runs allowed leaders from both 2024 and 2023. How hyped would you guys be? By the way, that's Cutter Crawford and Lucas Giolito. So we've got broken elbows and given up home runs. Let's go, baby. How inspired would that make you?
What's crazy is I actually like I wouldn't feel that bad about the like the, what you said is true, but I still wouldn't even feel that bad about it. Like
seriously, I agree. Actually, I would actually feel pretty good if that were the rotation. Like you could frame it that way and be like, oh, two, like what I just said, two guys whose elbows just exploded, and then the guys who give up home runs. But you know, context, like Tommy John happens a lot. Lucas Giolito clearly wasn't right that year. Cutter Crawford, yeah, he gave up a lot of home runs, but he still had a good season. So it would just be. It would be a fun tweet, I think. A fun tweet for me to do and get people to be like, "You're an asshole," and I'd be like, "It's just a joke." And that'd
be if they did that and that was what you tweeted, you'd get absolutely crushed. It would be hilarious, dude. You'd get people would be so mad. People would be mad.
Yeah.
Sammy, are we doing a little enough said before we get on out of here?
Yeah. Yeah. So, the island question, it came up with you and Bradfo. Remind me, you guys discussed it recently, correct?
Yeah, with Giolito, yeah.
Okay, so we've used this question to death, and rightfully so. It was
give the context. What's
okay, the question, so island if question, if you aren't familiar with the island question, when Gordo and I were in spring training, we were asking a lot of the Red Sox players and people around the team, broadcasters, we were asking, who would you take if you could take one teammate or coworker on a deserted island and you have to survive for as long as possible? And Tristan Casas blessed us with an amazing answer, said he wanted to take Jaron Duran because Jaron was built to survive in the jungle and eventually Tristan could eat his tasty muscles and ligaments. Very Tristan Casas answer. And so then like Nesson ran with it. Nesson asked their guys and it was great. The question blew up. We were super happy about it. And then Gordo had the chance to ask Lucas Giolito who he'd bring on the island. And we realized the other day, like, we're the only people who have not answered the island question. So for enough said, I want to lay the island question to rest. That we're doing like a Viking funeral. We're going to put it on a boat, set the boat on fire, and cast it out to sea. In a very cool way. So yeah, that's enough said. Who do you guys want on your deserted island? And this could be really anyone who has some sort of connection to the Red Sox.
Ooh. Yeah, I like the idea of doing it one by one. So we'll all say who we're gonna pick, and then we'll all say who we're gonna not take. Mm-hmm. I know who I want on the island. And I wanna forbid two answers because all of the players keep saying Whitlock because he's really responsible, resourceful, reliable, and was a former Boy Scout. And I want to forbid Tristan Casas because obviously that's the answer because he would eat you. So let's put those.
Who wants that though? Who wants to be eaten?
There's probably some freaks out there.
Oh, who you wouldn't take. Okay. Right. I was going to say, there are probably some freaks out there who'd be like, oh, I would be down. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. For mine, who I'll take, I'm going to take Cam Boozer because he can build. He can build. We can have shelter. Like, you don't know how long you're going to be out there for. So I think these guys are all athletes. They all might. I mean, if you barring the wrong guy, like you should be able to get a guy that, that can help you hunt down food. But what else do you bring to the table? Cam Boozer, handyman. Give me him.
I like it. I like it. Who are you not taking? Actually, let's tell me who you're not taking. We'll just our full one.
No, go to Pat and you. Do everyone.
Okay, we'll do our positives. All right, Pat, who you got?
I don't know if anyone's ever said him, but I feel like a pretty obvious answer here. Who I'm going with is Cutter Crawford, Florida boy, fisherman. If you follow him on Instagram, all the guy does is fish. I think. I don't know how much more resourceful you can get than being able to catch your own food. I'm going with Cutter.
It's a good answer.
All right. That was going to be my answer, but I can pivot. I have a backup. Same reasoning, though. I'm taking Brian Bayo. And when we were in spring training, we asked Joely Rodriguez who he would take, and he said Brian Bayo because he's from Samana, and they fish a lot there. So same reasoning. My Spanish, not good. You just heard me try to pronounce Alcantara. Not good. So communication would be tough, but I'm sure I could get a branch, whittle it down into a spear, and then Bayo, with his newly yoked arms, could just whoosh, get us a fish, and then we'd figure out cooking it. Or we could just eat it raw. Either way, we're not dying. Joe, you got one?
Yeah, I feel like sort of on that same line, Liam Hendricks. Like, he grew up, he was born in Australia. Like, anything and everything happens down under. So I feel like Liam would be ready for anything.
If the Red Sox just, like, had a guy, I'm trying to think. Like, I want to know who grew up with the least. Because that's in theory who you should take.
Like, learn to survive growing up?
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that. I do know that when we talked to Joely, he said that Pablo Reyes grew up like in the city and Bayo didn't.
Yeah. He doesn't want a city guy because that doesn't mean you grew up with a lot or a little, but he just said Reyes was from the city. He can't fish, but Samana is on the water. All right. Now, who do you not want to take on the island with you?
I'm confident in my answer for this one. Because I have several reasons, and it's going to be Masataka Yoshida, and it has nothing to do with us trying to trade him, which we do seemingly every episode. But it starts with the fact that unless what we had his translator there, like I'm going to have zero. Like I feel like I know at least a tiny bit of Spanish, and I think and like they certainly like have been around English speakers for a lot of their life now. But with Japanese, like it is. It's nowhere close. And then not to mention, like, imagine if you bring, like, Lucas Giolito to the island. He's going to be able to, like, reach you the fruits on the trees. And, you know, he's big and strong. Like, you could bring someone fast like Jaron Duran, like, who's going to be able to like, catch stuff. Like, Yoshida, like, he's one of the shorter guys on the team. He's one of the slower guys on the team. And he doesn't speak my language. Like, I'm not going to be able to communicate with him. It's going to be hard to survive there. I feel like we'd be kind of operating as two individuals rather than a team.
Gordo, all you would have to say is Sakana o Sakamaru no Setsu Dakudasai.
And what does that mean?
Please help me catch a fish.
And remains to be seen if Masa knows how to catch a fish. So
that was hard to. I was reading the English translation. That is hard to pronounce. So I mean, Spanish, like, yeah, you could piece it together. You grew up hearing it, and like the converse, like you said. But yeah, Japanese, good luck. That's hard. Also, it's not like a language you don't hear a lot. That's fairly easy to learn. Like German, you don't hear a lot, but it's not that hard to learn. Japanese, you don't hear a lot, and it's hard to learn. And there's a different alphabet, so you got no shot.
No,
respectfully,
way.
Pat, who are you not taking on the island?
Pat, you're muted.
Incredibly, my brain was going by. Sammy, your point about the spear throwing made me get thinking. It's kind of, I'm not going to call it a cop-out because he played a fair amount on the team here. I'm going with Brad Kelly because that guy couldn't hit. That guy would miss an elephant from 5 feet away.
Brad Keller catching strays. That dude who thought he would never hear from Red Sox people ever again.
Totally forgot that he was part of this season. Damn it. Okay,
Sammy,
yeah,
who you
that's
got?
Fair.
Tell me.
I mean, he does have a good arm, so maybe you luck into one, but unlikely. I would not take Emmanuel Valdez simply because what does he do well?
Oh.
Not much. So I don't think he would just magically flip a switch and be a survival specialist on an island. I would be we would be like a storm would come in and he'd be like, oh, let me build a shelter. It'll defend us. And I'll be like, oh God, I'm relying on Emmanuel Valdez defense to save my life. And then I'd be dead. So I'm not taking Emmanuel Valdez. I would actually be happy that we didn't speak the same language. That'd probably be the best part. So not a fan of him on the field. I don't really know him off the field, but it's not going to happen because he's not coming on my island. Sorry, Mr. Valdez.
Mine might be a little bit controversial, but I think I wouldn't take Kenley because the fatigue would be fatigued pretty early.
Joe, you'd be like, you'd wake up in the morning and there'd be a helicopter and he'd already be in it. He'd be like, hey man, I'm out.
Yeah, I'd be like, see you later.
How did you get a helicopter?
Like, Joe, yo, take me with you. Yeah,
Joe,
he's just like,
he's got
I can't.
That big league bunny, yeah. Man. He's you got a big league bunny.
You have a single gallon of cold, fresh water, and he uses it to ice down his sore back.
Yeah, he's got to manage himself very carefully. So I can't see myself.
You get one gallon of water, and he uses it to shower himself off before he gets on his first class flight off the island that only has room for him and not you.
You know who's an underrated answer, by the way? I don't think anyone picked him. Gordo, please correct me if I'm wrong, but Chris Martin, he's 6'10", so he could grab branches and like get you branches like tinder to make a fire, and he could get fruits and stuff off the trees, and he's from Texas, so I figured he has some semblance of survival skills. They're very outdoorsy.
He hunts.
He's also kind of on the older side.
He's older. He's responsible too. So he's older side. So he'll be like, I don't want to go running around today. We got to survive. And I'd be like, you know what? That's smart. We're not going to die. But if Emmanuel Valdez was there, he'd be like, let's run laps around the island and swing and not hit left-handed pitching or right-handed pitching, really. So,
oh my God. So peace, love the island question. We'll have to think of another awesome go-to question before spring training this year. We'll put our heads together this offseason. We'll think of something good. But till next time, what is it? Today's if you listen on Drop Day, it's Thursday. So you'll hear from us on Monday. But till then, go Dodgers. But also, before we get out of here, before you move on to whatever you're doing next, remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe, 5 stars, rate, subscribe. Helps us out so much. Check us out on YouTube on the WBEI channel. We've got a Playtesty playlist there. It's got all the episodes, and you can hit the thumbs up on those videos, which helps us out a ton as well. And then, as always, we are on the socials on Twitter and Instagram, both at Playtesty. For Sammy and for Pat and for Joe, it's Gordo here for Playtesty episode 143. Thanks for tuning in. Go Dodgers. Peace.